Well, that was the perfect song for what I want to try to deal with tonight. Paul didn't say, charge them that are rich, that they be not high-minded. He said, charge them that are rich in this world. And that's what I've entitled this message, In This World. And I hope through this that you and I can get a proper understanding of the world. You know, when a fundamentalist preacher preaches on worldliness, everybody just puts their head down and waits for the waves of anger to roll over there. I'm not interested in bringing a message like that. May the Lord deliver me from that. I don't want to bring a message worldliness. All we do is hear the word and we just start thinking about things about us. That's too worldly. I know. But that's not what I want to deal with. Charge them that are rich in this world. That tells us that there is another world. There's this world, and there is another world. When we were singing that hymn and that one phrase, and that's what takes place in that other world, when the hymn writer said, but just a smile from my Savior, I know. And I thought of the Lord smiling at me, and it just, I said, that will be glory, to have the Lord Jesus Christ smile at me in approval. I just can't imagine that. And that is speaking of that other world. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 32, the Lord warns us of those who do not have forgiveness in this world or the world to come. Now, if there are three words in the New Testament translated world, the one that's used the least means the inhabited earth. Remember that passage of Scripture where there went out a decree of Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed? It just means the whole Roman population or the whole inhabited world. And the other two worlds are used, that are translated world are used almost interchangeably. I don't know if I'm pronouncing them right. I remember one time I pronounced this word cosmos. I pronounced it cosmos. I remember somebody corrected me afterwards. And I thought, it's a dead language. How do you know? You know. So I'm always intimidated any time I try to pronounce a Greek word, but the Greek word cosmos, world, or ion, A-I-O long N. And once both of these words are used in the same verse, in Ephesians 2:2, when it says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, the age of this world, the world of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now the world could mean the earth. The world can mean the earth in contrast with heaven. The world can mean the human race. Remember when the Lord said, you are the light of the world. He's talking about you're the light of the human race. If somebody's going to hear the gospel, they're going to hear it through you. It can mean Gentiles as distinguished from the Jews. I think of that passage of Scripture where John says, he's the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Speaking not just of us Jews, but of the Gentiles as well. The world can mean Jews as well as Gentiles. All types of men. The present condition of human affairs. The world means the present condition of human affairs in alienation and opposition to God. It's the same world the Lord said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the deeds thereof are evil. The world which he said he was not of, he said, I'm not of this world. He said, you're from beneath, I'm from above. You're of this world, I am not of this world. The world could mean the sum of temporal possessions. Remember when the Lord said, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for soul? The word is used metaphorically regarding the tongue. I think of that scripture, the tongue
is a fire, a world of iniquity. What a definition
of the tongue, a world of iniquity. And I know my tongue is a world of iniquity. And I
think of that scripture where it says the tongue in James chapter 3, the tongue can no man tame.
Well, I'd like to tame mine, but I haven't been able to. I hope the grace of God tames it, though. A man can't tame it, but God can tame it. The world as an age, a period of time characterized by certain things. You know, when you talk of the old world or a brave new world or all those, we use that word, and the scripture uses that word, in so many different ways. This world. The world we're in right now. Now, I'm not talking so much about the planet. I love this world. I love the earth. I love the mountains. I love the sea. I love the ocean. When preachers talk about worldliness, they usually talk about, you know, how you dress or what kind of music you listen to. It has nothing to do with it. That's not what worldliness is. But John did say this. He said, love not the world. Now, he's not talking about the planet or the beautiful mountains or all the blessings of this life. We just read where God has given us all things richly to enjoy. And the Lord talks about, Solomon talks about enjoying the fruit of your labor. And the Lord means for us to enjoy life. You're not supposed to be miserable and depressed all the time. There's so much great blessing in this life to enjoy. And it says, He giveth us all things richly to enjoy. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But John still says, love not the world. And he's talking about that world that has no love for God. Love not the world. Now, problem is that we have something in us called the flesh that loves the world. I wish it wasn't that way, but that's the way it is. Love not the world, neither things that are in the world, for all that's of the world, 1 John 2:15 through 17, all that's of the world, the lust of the flesh, pleasure. Anybody here that doesn't have any desire for pleasure? The lust of the eyes, that's popularity. That's what other people see. Being concerned about what other people think, that's the lust of the eyes. And the pride of life, power, control, thinking you have some ability, is not of the Father. And that's what we're told not to love. And yet, you know that your old nature does love those things. And yet, the command of the Scripture is love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James said, whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Whosoever is a friend of this world that stands in opposition to the gospel, this world that stands in opposition to God, he is an enemy of God. Now, we are in a dangerous place. I want you to listen to this statement real carefully. We are in a dangerous place if we are comfortable in this world. We're strangers, the scripture says, and pilgrims passing through. This world is not our home. Like David said in that psalm we just heard read, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents, the wide spaces of wickedness. Turn with me to John 17. I want you to look at this passage of Scripture. I think this is so amazing. The Lord says in verse 14, I have given them, speaking of His elect, and remember, while you're in John 17, look in verse 9. The Lord refused to pray for the world. In John 17:9, He said, I pray for them, speaking of the elect, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Now Christ himself said, I do not pray for the world, I pray for them which you've given me. Now look what he says regarding those whom the Father gave him in verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world. Now, of has to do with origin. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, I wish I could explain what that meant. It's glorious, though. How is the Lord not of the world? Well, I mean, He's of God. He's always been. He's not of the world. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. And it's not. Oh, it's not in any way. He said, my kingdom were of this world. He said to Pilate, if my kingdom was of this world, you wouldn't whip me. My servants would fight. I'd be delivered from you. No way you. But my kingdom is not of this world. And he says regarding every one of his people, they're not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Now that speaks of union with the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal union with Him, and that just keeps getting more glorious the more I think about that. I've always had personality before God in Christ. Do I understand that? Of course not. Do I believe it with all my heart? They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Satan is called the God of this world. That's a sobering thing to think about, isn't it? The God of this world. Do you remember when Satan showed Christ the kingdoms of this world in a moment of time, the Scripture says? And the devil said to him, all this power, I'm quoting from the Scripture, all this power will I give to thee and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. Who delivered it unto him? God did. God gave Satan that ability. And he said, whomsoever will, I give it. If you worship me, all will be thine. Now understand this. The world, every unbeliever, is under the control and the power and the dominion of the devil. That's what the Scripture says. Ephesians 2:2, I've already quoted it. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in our times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, just like everybody else. That's the way we were born into this world. And every unbeliever is under the control of Satan. Now, they don't know that. Most of them are religious. Most of them think they worship God. But every believer is under the dominion of the devil. In Psalm 17:14, we read where David spoke of men of this world. Men of this world who have their portion in this life. Now, I don't want my portion just in this life, do you? I don't want my portion. I want my portion in the life to come, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. We're warned about the elements of this world. Beware, lest any man spoil you. Verse 8. Colossians 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments, the elements, the ABCs, the building blocks of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now beware lest any man spoil you from your completeness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in the same chapter, verse 20. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments, the elements, the foundational truths of the world, with the way they think, Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances, man-made rules, touch not, taste not, handle not. There's man's religion. Don't touch this, don't taste this, don't handle that, everything's going to be fine. It's a complete misunderstanding of what sin is. And what does he say next? He said, which all are to perish with the using. If that's your religion, you're going to perish. That's worldly religion. Now there's worldliness. You want to know what worldliness is? Right there it is. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship. I've got willpower to, I've got control over these things. And in humility, a voluntary humility, in neglecting of the body, but not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. There's nothing to that kind of thinking. You know, we're warned of the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness with God. Read Ecclesiastes if you get an opportunity this week. You know Solomon? For lack of a better word, tried everything this world has to offer. He said, I gave myself to this. I gave myself to that. I gave myself to this. Things aren't good. But he gave himself to every one of them. And you know what his conclusion was with regard to everything this life has to offer? Behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. We read, our Lord warns us about the cares of this world. Remember the parable of the sower and the thorn choked here? He says, the cares of this world. And there are cares of this world we got to deal with. We live in this world. I mean, we're here. The Lord said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you deliver them from evil. We're here, and we deal with the cares of this world. But our Lord warns us of the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, the promise that riches make, and the lust of other things. Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful, and there's no real life there. The cares of this world. Paul says we've not received this. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, he says we've not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God. You know, this world cannot understand the concept of grace. Not free grace. Well, the only kind of grace there is free grace. You know, the world can understand Calvinism. Again, it's a logical system. The world can understand Arminianism. But the world just cannot understand the grace of God. The Lord has not given us the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things freely given to us of God. I love this scripture in John chapter 14. The Lord said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, give I unto you. You know, the world's got a peace to give, don't they? You know, you get a windfall, get a bunch of money, everything's good. You don't have any conflict in your life, everything's good. Your circumstances are right, everything's good. And you feel a sense of well-being. You can really feel a peace that this world has to give. Everything's great. But it can be taken away so easily. It's so fragile because it's based on circumstances. The Lord said, my peace I give you. Now, what's His peace? He says, these things have I spoken unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. In the world you shall have trouble. In the world you shall have tribe, and be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now here's where I have peace in Christ. And here's the only thing that gives me peace. I can say this with such depth of conviction. That all God sees when He sees me is Jesus Christ. Now that gives me peace. If you tell me that there's something I need to do in order to make that peace mine, I don't have any peace. But if you tell me that He is my peace, that He worked out my peace, that He made peace for me by the blood of His cross, that He is my peace, here's peace. Where Judah said regarding Benjamin, picturing the Lord Jesus Christ, the great Lion of the tribe of Judah, he said, I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. And if I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, let me bear the blame forever. Now, if the Lord says that regarding me, I have peace. I love what David said.
He said in 2 Samuel 23:5, although my house be not so with God. That can mean so many things. He can be talking about his relatives, his family, be talking about this house. Although my house be not so with God, yet, there it is, although, yet, hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. A covenant made in eternity. And it was ordered in all things. There's no way I could mess anything up. It's already taken care of. It's ordered in all things, and it's sure. And David said, this is all my salvation.
I love that. It's all mine too, David. And it's all my desire. It's all I desire. In 1 John 5:19, John said, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth, is made its bed in wickedness. James said, whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I don't know if there's a sadder verse of Scripture in all the Word of God than this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas. Now Demas was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. I mean, when Paul went preaching, Demas went with him. He was a personal friend of Paul. He was a greatly blessed man. Seemingly. But look what he says about Demas. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He forsook Paul. You know, in Galatians 1:4, Paul says he hath delivered us from this present evil world. But evidently Demas wasn't delivered because he loved this present evil world. The Lord said, what should it profit a man? And think of this question. What should it profit a man? What benefit would it be to him if he gained the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, we are in this world that I've been speaking of, that Scripture says, love not the world. And don't be a friend of the world. And we're carrying something with us that loves the world. That loves the lust of the flesh. That's affected by the lust of the eyes. That wants the pride of life. Somebody says, I don't have problems with those things anymore. I don't believe that for a second. I mean, that's just not so. If you've got flesh, there's something attractive to you about the lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. No use denying it. Is there anyone that doesn't have a problem with what they would call worldliness? I have no problem with that. No, don't believe it for a second. But the Bible gives us some things to understand with regard to this world. First of all, the new man doesn't love it. That new man that does not sin. Don't love the world in the sense that you see it for what it is. The world hates the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the world cannot hate you, but me it hateth. Because I testify of it, that the deeds thereof are evil. Turn to John 15 for just a moment. John 15. Verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, The world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they'll keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they'd had no sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that was written in their law, they hated me without a cause, freely. Now what kind of world hates Jesus Christ without a cause? He's altogether lovely. He's altogether glorious. He's the bright and morning star. He's the full... He's God. He's the Creator. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. And the world hates him. See the world for what it is. Is it any wonder, Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha, damned upon the return of the Lord. Now, was Paul speaking harshly when he spoke that way? No. He knows the Lord Jesus Christ in His beauty, in His glory. Turn to James chapter 1. Verse 26. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue, boasts of his own works, he deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself, what? Unspotted from the world. Now that takes the grace of God. I want to be unspotted. I don't want to be affected by this world's religion, by this world's values, by this world's desires. I want to be unspotted. Now I know that takes the grace of God, but oh, that the Lord would enable me to have this pure religion which keeps me unspotted from the world, the religion, the ways, the maxims, the desires, the values of this world. In Romans chapter 12, verses, turn there. Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I love His argument. I beseech you by God's mercy to you, His saving mercy that has saved you, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Them that are rich in this world, same world he's talking about. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace of God given unto me, here's the first thing we do when we're not conformed to this world. Here's the first thing. I think this is so interesting. First thing he mentions, for I say, through the grace given to me to every man that's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, that's where we get in trouble. Every time. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. You know, it's a glorious thing when I see I'm nothing but a sinner and he's a complete Savior. It's wonderful. It's a blessing. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, how do I go about that, not being conformed to this world? Let me give you what I think is the best scripture regarding this. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. This is what Matt sang about at the beginning of this service. Verse 12. as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Wouldn't that be a pretty accurate description of man's religion? A fair show in the flesh. Well, they constrain you to be circumcised. And they have a reason and a motive. It's only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Look how I've influenced this person for good. I've won a soul. I've done something good. I've been a positive influence in somebody's life. Oh, I feel good about myself. That's all that is. That's all that is. Verse 14. Now here's Paul. I love what he says. Now Paul is the chief apostle. Paul is the man God used to write most of the New Testament. Paul is the man God used more than any other man to expound the gospel. He's the man that was brought up into the third heavens and taught the gospel directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, what does Paul say? What does Paul say? Just forget everybody else. What does Paul say? Paul says, God forbid that I should glory, that I should have confidence in, that I should rejoice in, that I should boast in, that I should have assurance in anything save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he accomplished on the cross. What he meant when he said, it is finished. My salvation was finished. It was completed. Nothing left for me to do. You know, I do. That's all I glory. That's all I have confidence in. I don't have confidence in my preaching. I don't have confidence in my praying. I don't have confidence in my understanding. I have confidence in this. All God requires of me, He looks to Christ for. And Christ accomplished my salvation. I was saved 2,000 years ago. I saved before time began. That's what I have confidence in. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what he says next. By whom the world is crucified unto me, in light of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory he achieved for his Father, his love to his people, the glories of the cross, I see this world, it's crucified to me. It has no more value than a dead man hanging on a tree. The world is crucified unto me, and because I believe this, the world sees me the same way I see the world. As crucified, as useless, as worthless. Now, listen to this scripture. I want to give two or three more scriptures regarding the world. In John chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world. I love that verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that would actually be more accurately translated, that the one believing, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, if we would love the world the way God loves it, we would not love it in the way we should not love it, would we? Listen to this scripture. This is a faithful saying. And it's worthy of everybody's welcome embrace that Christ Jesus came into the world. This world we're living right now, He invaded history. He came into the world. The Word was made flesh. And what did He come into the world to do? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm one of them. He came to save me. Aren't you thankful that He came into the world to save sinners? Of whom Paul said, I am the chief. And he now says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now that's His commission to me and you, to preach the gospel to every creature. And He said, lo, I am with you, even to the end of the world. Let's pray.